Good morning. Welcome, and I would encourage you to turn your Bibles to Psalm 126. I want to look at several verses there in this message that's entitled, There Will Be Rejoicing, in this series, Learning from the Classics, which is a series of messages based on some Old Testament favorite passages, certainly some favorite passages of mine. When a child is born, we want the child to grow. It lays there initially, then eventually it rolls over, then it sits up, and it stands up, and then the child begins to walk. And we're encouraging it. And just as we want our children to grow, God wants His children to grow. The church should always be moving upward spiritually. 2 Peter chapter 1, take a look there with me, if you turn there. 2 Peter chapter 1, those first 10 verses. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Again, if you haven't turned there in your Bible, turn with me to Psalm 126, verses 1 through 6, and notice the format of the psalm. First of all, there is praise for spiritual return in verses 1 through 3. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. You can think about memories of what the Lord did. It happened for them, but it was hard to believe. And then there were reports of what the Lord did. He did great things for His people. Those great things were noticed by all, and they caused rejoicing by the saints. And then next is a prayer for spiritual recovery in verse 4. Bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Consider the Christian who gets off track. He just kind of gets off track spiritually, walking with the Lord, and just the unhappiness of his condition that he may not even realize. because he's so much involved in that pattern that he may not even realize that he's gone off track. Then readiness of his hope and happiness of his realization when he comes to realize that he's changed, that things are back. And then there's the promise of spiritual reaping in verses 5 and 6. Those who reap in tears shall, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come back, come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. We're talking about the law of the harvest here. First of all, there must be sowing before there's reaping. And what one sows is what one reaps. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 speaks about this. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Sorrowful sowing results in joyful reaping. And in proportion to the sowing will be the reaping. And a very important principle of the harvest that we don't often think of. You sow in a different season. You reap in a different season than when you sow. We sow in the spring. We reap in the fall. And so the work that we do, the planting of seeds that we do, the watering of the seeds, the work that we do, we don't realize that until later on. We reap in a different season than when we sow. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. The purpose of the Church of Jesus Christ in this cursed world, it's threefold. It's to exalt the Savior. We praise, we worship. It's to equip the saints, teaching, training. And it's to evangelize the sinner. So exalt the Savior, equip the saint, and evangelize the sinner. Verse 6 is the key to the church's joy and its purpose. And there's a structure of opposites which reveal two truths regarding the gospel ministry that we should take a look at here in this psalm. First, there is the work of the gospel. Look at the first part of verse 6. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing. The assumption is that you sow seed, which means your assignment is to drop some seed. And notice the word continually. Continually, just putting out seed. Over in Matthew chapter 13, we see this in one of Jesus' parables. Matthew 13, beginning with verse 3. And then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good soil, on good ground, and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Listen, important, the sower is not responsible for the crop, only for the sowing. We are commissioned to go. That's Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, sow seeds in all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." The attitude is that you have sorrow for the lost souls, weeping with a heart for their salvation. You're not sowing just to sow, you're sowing because you're concerned for the lost states of mankind, of loved ones around you, of acquaintances, of everyone that God brings you in contact with. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, it says, "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest.'" In Matthew chapter 23, verse 37, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." There are people who need the gospel message, who need to be sorrowed over. Jesus had a heart of sorrow for the lost. The question is, do you, do I, do we have a heart of sorrow for the lost that provokes us and compels us to sow the gospel in their lives, to share the good news? The action of the gospel ministry is bearing seed. And what is that seed? It is the Word of God. The message of Jesus Christ has power. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God, the salvation, for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." The work of the gospel is going to sow. Sorrowing for souls, bearing the seed of God's Word. But then second, there are fruits of the gospel. Look at the second part of verse 6. "Shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. The one who went out will return. Doubtless shall come again," it says. The one who went out with sorrow will return with joy, with rejoicing. The one who went out with sorrow will return with joy. The one who went out to sow will return with a crop, bringing his sheaves with him. Rejoicing in the church results from the harvest. Only those who sow and reap provoke the joy. Otherwise, it's only theoretical. If there's no sowing of the gospel, it's only theoretical. If there's no reaping of the souls, it's only theoretical. But a sinner saved is real, and there's much rejoicing. Let me ask you, are you going out to sow in obedience to God? Are you sorrowing over the lost souls all around you? Are you bearing seed and dropping it in the field? If the answer to that is yes, then you are a source of rejoicing? If the answer is no, then you need to get started. Because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. That's an eternity in hell apart from God. That's not just a physical death, it's a spiritual death. But you know what? God loves every one of us. God loves us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life by Christ Jesus. God loved us, so He sent Jesus Christ that we might have eternal life. And how does that love play out? Well, God demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God did not wait for us to get cleaned up. He didn't wait for us to get good enough. He didn't wait for us to get ready. Jesus went to the cross while we were in the midst of our sin. Because God loves us. He doesn't want us to spend an eternity in hell, so He sent Jesus Christ to take our place. To go to the cross, shed His blood for us, so that we don't have to. By faith, we can receive the benefit of what He did. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart, you shall be saved. With the mouth, confession is made, and with the heart, we believe unto righteousness. All who call upon the name of the Lord, or whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you know Jesus? Is He your Savior? Is He your Lord? If He is, well, praise God. If not, then you need to confess your sin. You need to acknowledge to Him that you have been rebellious in your sin. You deserve His punishment, but you believe Jesus Christ died for you and rose from the dead, and He can give you victory over death. And you need to ask Him to forgive you. If Jesus is your Savior and Lord, then do you know lost people around you? And will you go and share the good news? Sow that seed that they might be saved. Would you do that? Would you make a commitment today to do that? Would you pray with me? Father, thank You so much for Your Word. Thank You for this psalm, speaking of going out and sowing in sorrow and coming back and rejoicing with carrying sheaves or bringing new believers into the fold. Father, I pray that You would give us conviction to do so, to share the good news. Otherwise, it's only theoretical. It's only theoretical that people would receive the message and respond. Father, I pray that You would affirm those who are being faithful and obedient. And Father, You would give conviction to all those. Father, I pray that everyone who's watching or listening to this message, that You would give them the grace that's necessary to be obedient in sharing the good news, in sowing the seed of the gospel. Father, we give You all the praise, we give You all the glory, and it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. You have a great day.